what would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Welcome to St. John Forward Radio. I'm cutting it close to the wire here. My name is John Forward. I'm the host of the show. We're on live every Monday from 9 till 10 p.m. here on Local 107.3. Also streaming on my John Forward comedy pages on Facebook and YouTube. Normally I start the stream a couple, like 5 minutes early, just to you know, so it starts coming up in people's feed. They can get prepared to join the show. But I was looking into my phone, making some notes about stuff to talk about, and then all of a sudden, I hear Hacksaw Jim Duggan announcing that it's 9 o'clock and my show is about to start. So, anyway, here we are. I would say if you're listening live, you're missing the beginning part of this, but you're not going to hear this part. So anyway, if you came to it after the fact, you're catching up. I'm pretty exhausted right now, so I'm a little bit scatterbrained. I don't know how talk heavy this show is going to be. I have made that claim in the past, and it turned out to be misinformation, and I ended up rambling for dozens of minutes on end. So who knows? Got a little bit of convoy update planned for later in the show, but I guess I should start with just what's been going on with my week. Since last week's show, I'm going to include last week's show. I've had a bit of a busy week. Keep in mind, I'm also working a full time job, so in the past week, I've done two podcasts, this one from last week, and we also had a pretty good episode of Four Story Walk Up on Tuesday with myself and Brian Godso and Arif Hussein. I've done three stand-up comedy shows since then, hosting two of them, which hosting is a lot more difficult than just doing a regular spot. So I think I mentioned this last week. Shane Ogden put together this bi-weekly show that's at the Pub Down Under uptown, and unfortunately five of the people that were supposed to be on the original lineup all came down with COVID, including Shane Ogden. So he asked me to step in and keep things moving and host it a little bit, and I was flattered to be asked. I was mildly disappointed that I couldn't just go and do a quick set and enjoy myself. It's a lot more exhausting to be kind of on for 2 hours, even if there is breaks in between. But yeah, the Pub Down Under show was a lot of fun. Great turnout. It was on a Tuesday night, which I'm always surprised at whenever there's a good turnout on a weeknight for these things. I've been stubbornly doing No Jokes Barred on Saturdays as much as possible since it began in 2014. Just thinking that nobody wants to come out to a comedy show on a weeknight. It helps the whole proceedings if the audience is a little lubricated with alcohol. It's always good for a comedy show, and it also makes it more likely that the bar makes money and allows the comedy show to continue. But people keep putting on these weeknight comedy shows with packed houses. So Pub Down Under, full house. I think there might have been some people that had to be turned away because they didn't have seats. The majority of them were there specifically for the comedy show. I was a little bit worried when we showed up. The advertising seemed minimal in the building. I didn't see a poster up. They had the little sandwich chalkboard to mention the drink specials out front, but I didn't see any mention of a comedy show. So anyway, I gave people adequate notice 10 minutes in, or 10 minutes ahead, and give them a chance to finish their supper and take off, but not many people did. So it was a good show. It was a bit of a, we had to work for it. The room was a little bit chatty. It varied, though. There was a few people that had sets, and everybody was quiet and paying attention. Some people had sets, and the whole room was chatterboxing, and it didn't seem directly related to how good or bad the sets were. Everybody had had good sets, but the attention levels varied quite a bit. It was a fun time. I'm looking forward to doing it again. There's going to be show number 2 coming up next Tuesday on March 29th. And Shane Ogden, COVID survivor, as of yet, is he's going to be back hosting that one. He's going to come on the show next week to promote it. So I got a little bit of a email last time Shane came on the show, so we're going to behave ourselves this time. So that was fun. I'm looking forward to just doing a normal old set on the thing. It's nice when there's lots of options for shows popping up in St. John, and they don't have all of the same audience. So it's a good chance to be able to work on a particular bit without having to worry about kind of repeating myself for the same people. There are some super fans that come out to many shows, but you know, it is what it is. So Pub Down Under, bi-weekly for the foreseeable future. Next one on March 29th. Check it out if you've got an opportunity to, whether as an audience or if you're a comedian that wants to do a spot, send a message to Shane Ogden. What else did I do? So also, Friday night I just went to the movies. I went to see the movie X, directed by Ty West, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. I had heard that it came out. I just saw some kind of headlines online. I made a point of not reading reviews, and I didn't want to watch the trailer or anything. Not that the movie was particularly mysterious or had kind of, I don't know, but it's nice to go to a movie semi-cold. I went into it, I knew it was directed by Ty West, who I'm a fan of. I was telling Arif when he was over to do Four Story Walk Up last week that The Innkeepers, I highly recommend. I'm not super into like haunted house type ghost movies. That one is an exception. I really like that movie, so watch The Innkeepers if that seems like it's in your ballpark. And House of the Devil, I remember liking. I kind of remember what it was about. Somebody is hired to babysit, and it ends up being, I forget, there's some sort of weirdness to it, but it was a bit of a slow burn. I remember enjoying it. And this one was put out by the A24 company, who has been pretty consistently good in the I want to say horror movie department as of years. They're not 100% horror movies, but you know, if you're into horror, their movies are good. They put out Midsommar, Hereditary, The Green Knight, The Lighthouse. I don't know, there's a long list. Generally, if I see a trailer and it's got the A24 logo, I'm willing to give it a try. I don't think I've been disappointed yet. I certainly haven't seen all of them. So that was Friday night. Apparently there was, it didn't seem like a movie that was going to have an after the credits stinger. This one apparently did, and I missed it. So anyway, I know it sets up a prequel. I don't know if that's a spoiler or not. Apologies. But anyway, I'm sure that footage will be available on YouTube at some point. Turns out the prequel has already been made, so that'll hopefully come out not too long in the future. So that was fun. It was good. So I knew it was Ty West, who I like. It was A24, who I like. I knew it was horror adjacent. I don't know why I'm saying adjacent. It is a horror movie, I think. I don't know what kind of horror movie I would call it. I've heard it described as a slasher. I don't know if that's what I would call it, but I can't think of a better one. But just the look of it was really cool. I assume it was on purpose, but it aesthetically reminded me a lot of the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Just not so much what the story is about, but just the look of it. And it takes place in Texas, and the main house in the movie is reminiscent of the Texas Chainsaw house. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Well acted, good special effects, good story. I enjoyed it. I recommend. It might be one of the better horror movies I've seen in the theater in recent memory. I'm not sure what the last one I went to. Candyman, maybe, which I also really liked. I noticed on the movie app where I bought my tickets that it was rated 18A, which I feel like I think I might go to every 18 rated movie that comes out, because it seems the Canadian standards for the movie ratings are a bit less stringent than they are. There's lots of movies that come out in the U.S. that are rated R, but when they come out here, they're kind of rated 14. So for something in Canada to go on to the upper levels of being rated 18A, you know, there's at least some boobs and some blood, possibly both. And anyway, I'm not going to spoil it. There may be some of both. Anyway, great movie. I recommend it if that sounds like something that's in your wheelhouse. Saturday was No Jokes Barred, which was fun as always. This is our first unrestricted show in since before COVID, I think. No masks, no vaccine passport, no capacity issues. So we crammed some more tables and seats in there than we've had in quite a while, and packed house. I think there might have been some people that didn't get seats. So if you want to check that out sometime, I suggest you show up early to No Jokes Barred. The next one is on the third Saturday in April, which is the April 16th. That's Saturday of the Easter long weekend. Have not booked it yet. So anyway, if you're a comedian, you want to do it, hit me up. Fun show. Still weird to see the boardwalk is a bit of a war zone down there. Everything's all torn down. There's a new stage there. The stage is kind of facing sideways. It's not facing McGill's like it was, so I'm not sure how that bodes for this summer. Typically, there's live music every Friday and Saturday night until midnight on the boardwalk, so it's kind of a non-starter to have a comedy show while that's happening. So I assume June, July, and August we're going to be bumped to Sundays, but like I said, the boardwalk looks like it's a bit of a war zone. I would assume that they're targeting to have it all put back together in time for the summer and to have the live music, but fingers crossed at the incompetence of our city planners, and maybe we'll have comedy shows on Saturday nights. Anyway, it was a fun show. I enjoyed it. Good turnout. Some new people that hadn't been there before. We had one guy that hadn't done a set since before COVID make his, and I probably shouldn't say triumphant return. That's a bit of a stretch. Apologies. One set in particular was a bit dicey. I mean, it's allowed. This is a good show called No Jokes Barred, and free speech is kind of the is the guiding principle of No Jokes Barred. One of the sets was a bit dicey, though, and I mean, it's not. It's some words were used that I mean, I don't have any specific "don't say these word" policies, but when the joke is just that you're saying the word out loud a bunch of times, that's not what what warms my comedy heart at No Jokes Barred. Again, it's allowed to happen. I will say that it got the appropriate response from the audience, which was not much. So anyway, that's punishment in and of itself. The person who had that set was worried that I was kind of contradicting the No Jokes Barred philosophy. I gave this person the light to wrap up their set. It was when they were out of time and the show was over, so they weren't being censored. I also turned down the mic a little bit, but that was a combination of the words being used and the volume of them. So, you know, I was just trying to be a, you know, the whole Market Square atrium didn't need to hear the set. Anyway, was not trying to be a censor, but anyway, it was a little bit dicey and, it got the appropriate level of laughs, which was not many. So anyway, that person's not in trouble. They'll be back on the show, hopefully with a better set, but it's an open mic. We try things out and, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. This one didn't. Hopefully some lessons were learned. So anyway, that was fun. And, that's the other thing. I like doing No Jokes Barred on a Saturday because, we can, usually they're not everybody that's on the show, but, we have the opportunity to kind of hang out and have some drinks. So I'm not really a big hanger outer on the weeknight shows. I'm generally out the door as soon as it's over. Even doing this show until 10 PM is, pushing it a little late. I tend to aim for 10 o'clock, go to bed. I usually read a book until about 11 o'clock. So, the later that I stay at the comedy show, the later I end up going in bed and the less likely that I'm going to be able to get some reading done. So, but tonight I'm a little bit sleepy, so I don't think I'm going to get any reading done. Had a comedian that I met in Halifax on the show, and given that it was dicey and given the location that this guy hails from, I was a little bit worried that, the No Jokes Barred might have been shocking in a bad way, but you know, the comedian John Pickett, who came up from Halifax, he made his No Jokes Barred debut. I hadn't seen him do comedy before. We just met at a show that neither of us were performing on in December, so it was good to see him. And he's the one that that booked me on the show I did last night in Fredericton. And, so, I mean, after the show that we had, I was a little bit worried that, that he was going to be like, what have I done booking this madman on a show in Fredericton? But the words he used to describe it was that it was the most free speech show that he's ever attended. So I'll take that as a win. So did a show last night at what's the place called? Broken Record Bar and something or other. There's a longer name of the bar, but Broken Record. It's on Queen Street in Fredericton. I've said multiple times, I think on this show, and I even caught myself saying it out loud on Saturday to a couple of people. I kept saying, I haven't done a show in Fredericton in years since before COVID. It's a lie. I've done Maybes. I've done the Grim Ross a couple of times, since COVID. And, But doing a show in downtown Fredericton is different than those shows. Those ones are a bit more older skewing, not like elderly, but, you know, more people old like me or more. I would say like people probably more in their 40s, I think, would be the average for those shows. Whereas this one was younger crowd, lots of 20 somethings in the room. Which could go either way, but it went the right way. Had some comedians that I know that were on the show. John from Halifax, the aforementioned Evan Steves and Brian Otter. I've done many shows with over the years. They were there. Maggie Esty was there. I haven't seen her do a comedy show in quite a while. She's mostly performing shows in Fredericton that I'm not on. So. Good to see her, and also some new young whippersnappers from Fredericton. Some or possibly all of them are in some group called the Labor Union that I found on Instagram. Tried to get a couple of them on No Jokes Barred a couple of months ago, but that fell through. But anyway, now that we've met in person, maybe we'll make that happen. Maybe I can come up and do some of their shows. And who else? We got, we had Robbie Vino, who I knew from Halifax. He's been, co-hosting / running, shows with Ian Black for many years down there. So it was good to see him. Another guy from Halifax named Moose. I'd never met him before. Seemed like a nice guy. I liked his set. So, that was fun. I was a little bit worried that the 20-year-old kids were going to be, unbearably woke. I didn't go super hardcore on my set. I talked about the convoy a bit, but they were on board. Some, young mustachioed man said, finally, someone who agrees with us. So, I've got hope for the youths. It seems at least some of them are kind of, the pendulum is going the other way on kind of the woke stuff. I didn't see anything that I would call like not woke. It wasn't like a super politically correct show. It wasn't a politically incorrect show either. There wasn't anybody going too hog on anything. But a young mustachioed young man appreciated my set. So that was good. Got lots of compliments. That set I'm more happy with than my other sets. At No Jokes Barred, I had a couple air balls when I was hosting Pub Down Under. I got more of a stride as we went through the night, but you know, there was some moments of silence that were not intentional. But all of them, everybody was very kind. Lots of compliments from random strangers in the audience about how funny that I am. Which is always feels weird after I feel like I've not done very well, but I'm trying to take it in stride. But anyway, a good run of shows, and I have been talking for over 20 minutes straight on the show where I said I was too tired to talk about anything. So I'm a liar. That was misinformation. So let's take a musical break. I don't have a particular song, but I've got my old Spotify radio playlist on shuffle. What do we got?
Compliance. We just need your compliance. You will feel no pain anymore. No more defiance. We just need your compliance. Just give us your compliance. We won't let you feel lost anymore. No more self-reliance. Fall into line, you will do as you're told. No choice, fatigue, your blood is running cold. We lose control, the world will fall apart. Love of your life will mend your broken heart. Life lived in fear, you need protection. You're all alone, too much rejection. We have what you need, just reach out and touch. We can save you. your compliance. We just need your compliance. You will feel no pain anymore. No more defiance. Just give us your compliance. Cover your tracks, we know what's best for you. You've bitten off much more than you can chew. You're running scared, you'll run into our arms. Come join our clique, we'll keep you safe from harm. Our toy soldier, you'll do the dirty work. Stay loyal to us, we'll take away the hurt. We have what you need, just reach out and search. We can save you, just give us your compliance. We just need your compliance. You will feel no pain anymore. No more defiance. Just give us your compliance.
Welcome back to St. John. Oh, wait, hold on. Hold on. Settle down, Spotify. We're back on St. John Forward Radio. That was a new Muse song, Compliance. Apologies to the CRTC if that's some sort of monster hit. It came up on my Spotify this week, and I enjoy the band. I don't know much about them. I thought maybe they were Canadian, but I gave that a quick skim on Spotify. It does not seem to be the case, so no CanCon. But to appease the CRTC, I guess I should remind everybody that you're listening to Local 107.3 FM on your dial, assuming you are listening to it on your dial. You're probably listening to it on the internet, so I've just lied to you again. So, I don't know how deep into this I want to get, but there's some news on a couple of items left over from the convoy. First, there still seems to be convoy protests going on. Having the mandates lifted in most places seems to have taken the steam out of the whole thing. I'm not satisfied that there's any permanence at all to the lifting of the mandates. I feel like this could come back at any time, and as I discussed, I believe, last week. The problem is that nobody seems comfortable saying, yeah, whoops, these things never worked, so we're going to stop doing them now. Which means that they're keeping it in their back pocket. If things seem to be pretty bad for COVID, like I said, five people that were supposed to do the show on Tuesday have COVID. I'm finding out people that I know personally have COVID on a near daily basis for the past month, which has not been the case throughout the whole pandemic. I don't know anybody that got like seriously sick. That doesn't mean that they're not out there, but anyway, mandates are probably going to come back. If not, then I'm happy for that. But the federal mandates are still in place. The filthy unvaxxed still can't get on a plane, or I don't know if that goes for trains. So anyway, but I do give credit to the convoy for at least the current less bad state that we're in right now. So I'm appreciative of that. But the whole... Everybody's kind of distracted by the Ukraine thing, so I don't know how at the top of people's minds any of this stuff is anymore, but we just keep finding out that all of the criticisms of the convoy that were raised during and before and even after were just complete fabrications. The biggest one was with the money. I mean, I saw some Facebook friends talking, worried about the money was going to the white supremacists and the Wexit party and stuff. I don't think there was any real, that seemed to be just regular dumb people that thought that. That wasn't a huge part of the narrative. Certainly that those people were involved was a big, talking point in the media and the government, but, the funding of it was something that had a lot of scrutiny. So as you'll recall, there was a GoFundMe set up, and again, a big part of the white supremacist conspiracy theory, which was broken down on this show, were because the organizers of the GoFundMe, who, to be honest, when I first heard, I'm like, who cares who set up a GoFundMe page? That would take like 2 minutes. I could do one right now. Tamara Litch, BJ Dichter. In my research, I found out that they were a bit more involved than I had initially given credit for. Those two people, I don't think that the claims of them being nefarious people were very well founded. I kind of took a dive into it on a previous show, if you want to check that out. I had heard people say that, what's his name? Pat King was originally one of the people on the GoFundMe and they took his name off. I'm not sure if that's true or not. I don't care either way, to be honest. The Pat King seems like he's kind of a bad guy. The other two, less so. Tamara Litch, by the way, I haven't talked about this on the show. She was arrested a while ago. She was originally denied bail on a charge of, like, conspiracy to encourage mischief or some nonsense. Not allowed to be out on bail. However, there was some nutcase that drove an SUV into some convoy protesters. They said they let that guy out on bail. Tamara Litch appealed that, and I think she's out on bail now. I'm not sure when the trial is going to be. I'm not sure if BJ Dichter was arrested or not. I assume so. He was just as involved as she was, but they haven't really been talking about him in my circles, so I'm not sure what's going on with that guy. Pat King, don't care. Anyway, so they had set up this GoFundMe that raised about $10 million, I think, at some point. I donated to the GoFundMe, but then it was decided that, you know, there was a lot of scrutiny on it, and I think that's good. It's a lot of money, so I think it was warranted to expect that there'd be some oversight into how that was actually spent. So, you know, there's lawyers involved, and they had to justify how they were going to spend it and all that stuff before ultimately it got shut down, or, well, by GoFundMe themselves. At first, they were going to, you had to kind of opt in to get a refund, which wasn't very well advertised. I never got an email from GoFundMe saying, hey, we're not giving the money to the convoy. There was a statement on the convoy page on GoFundMe saying that they were going to work with the organizers to pick some other more legitimate charities or something to distribute the money, which seemed sketchy to me. But you could opt in to get a refund. So I'd set up, I had asked for a refund because I donated to the Freedom Convoy. I don't think the plan was to give it to Black Lives Matter or something like that. That seems to be the kind of the how it was spun amongst the more conspiratorial things. I don't think that was going to be the case. I think they were going to they did say explicitly that they were going to redistribute it to more legit charities. I think it would have had to have at least been charities that the organizers were okay with. So who knows what that would have been. But anyway, I wanted to donate to the trucker convoy, and that became clear it wasn't going to happen. So I asked for my refund, but there was a bit of backlash, and within a day, GoFundMe had decided to, instead of having to opt in to get the refund, that they were just going to refund everybody automatically. I did get an email at that point saying, hey, we're refunding all the money. But if it wasn't for the backlash, I think there would have been a lot of people that accidentally donated to some other, hopefully legitimate charities, but not the one that they thought they were donating to. So the big fuss about the GoFundMe and also GiveSendGo is some other crowdfunding website that kind of stepped in to start a new fundraiser for it. I did not give to that one. Because, like, GoFundMe I'd heard of, and it seems like a real company that had some accountability. The GiveSendGo one, I might have been drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit and just how the whole thing was framed by... So, anyway, I was probably more worried than I needed to be that that one was going to be a little bit less sketchy and maybe some of the money might go into the wrong hands. I'm not sure which hands. But then it turns out that they tried to get GiveSendGo to cancel their fundraiser, and GiveSendGo said no, which was interesting. It seemed like it's a Christian fundraising site, which is also part of the reason I didn't want to donate it to it. I think they were advertising that they weren't taking a cut. I don't know if that was specific to the Freedom Convoy or if that's... if that's just how the website operates. I haven't looked too deep into it, but I don't think everybody who donated to the GiveSendGo had their bank account froze, but more than zero of them did. So I'm kind of glad that I didn't give to that one, because I don't want to end up on some sort of terrorist list, and I didn't want my bank account frozen. I don't know if that's still going on. I don't know how many people had their accounts frozen, but it was rough. So the justification for the crackdown on the fundraisers was politicians and media were all kind of in lockstep that, and this was also part of the justification for invoking the Emergencies Act. A lot of people were talking about how this thing was largely like foreign funded, which seems like a racist thing to say as a negative, but they went with that. That it was, so the idea was that this was all money coming in from other countries, Russia in particular. This was being framed as Russia was just donating to this convoy so that they would destroy our democracy or some nonsense. Lots of talk about how this should be treated like in the same way if, some straight up terrorist started a GoFundMe for like 9/11 part 2. So this was being funded by terrorists. Or it was terrorism being funded. They were saying that the money was coming in from other countries, that it was being used for money laundering or something. That turns out to not be the case at all. They've And there's a lot of eyes on this. So, I mean, normally I wouldn't cite the official agencies as a valid source, but given that everybody involved would have loved to have found some evidence of foreign meddling or terrorism or something, that does not seem to be the case. So, they've looked into it, and there's been, like the president of GoFundMe and all this stuff, everybody across the board has basically said that this seemed to be donations largely just from regular Canadian people. No evidence of any nefarious sources of this stuff. So GoFundMe said that there were no large donors that would have raised any red flags. And again, this is a pretty big organization that has the tools to look into this stuff. There didn't seem to be any weird patterns to it. They said that the biggest donation was about $30,000, which is no small chump change. But that came from Canada. I don't know who or what organization gave that $30,000. For context, Jagmeet Singh's brother-in-law, I think, gave $13,000 before Jagmeet made him take it back. So a little over double that. I don't know. I assume just some benevolent, freedom loving rich person, but I'm not sure. It might have been an organization of some sort, but was not identified, and nobody investigating seemed to have been too concerned about it. The RCMP has said that there's absolutely no evidence of any terrorist activity. FinTrack, which is an organization I'd never heard of before this, but apparently it's like a Canadian organization or something that is specifically for, it's the FinTrack is short for Financial Transactions and Report Analysis Center of Canada. So this seems to be some sort of official organization whose job is specifically to track financial transactions and analyze it to make sure that, you know, there's not any nefarious weird stuff going on. It seems like, I haven't looked too deep into it, so I'm not 100% sure, but they've gotten an official sounding name. It sounds like something that would investigate if there was concerns of, like, foreign meddling or terrorist funding. Maybe they look into, like, campaign finances and that stuff just to make sure everything's above board, but they didn't find anything. So from what I've been looking into, 88% of the donations came from inside Canada, which is not the story that we were being fed. 86% of the people who donated were Canadians. So this was not foreign funded. There's been no pattern that makes it seem like it's any kind of a terrorist thing. Give, Send, Go at a little bit of a lower percentage. 63% of the Give, Send, Go, I think that one got up to like 6 million. Those all came from within Canada. So that still means 37% came from outside the country. I don't personally find that very alarming. By this point, this is international news, so Canada is not the only country in the world that has people that are fed up with the COVID mandates. So by the time the Give, Send, Go thing happened, the convoy has been international news. And it was also big news that GoFundMe kind of weaseled their way out of this whole thing. So at that point, it makes sense that a lot of people around the world would have seen this and decided to throw in on it after having the first attempt at the crowdfunding kind of had the kibosh put on it. So 63% of the donations came from Canada with the Give, Send, Go, and they say the vast majority of them were under $100. So that much less likely that that there was kind of any terrorism involved. So anyway, that was all a sham. I assume there's going to be no No apologies. Maybe some of the people that had their accounts frozen might have some kind of recourse. I doubt it. Yeah, so that's what that is. Another thing, you may recall that there was a big story in the early days of the Ottawa convoy where everybody was freaking out that that somebody set a fire in the lobby of an apartment building and taped up the doors so that nobody could escape. Now, I think I might have played the video on this show. You can find it online. It's usually attached to, if you just Google Ottawa arson, you'll probably find the video. It was all over the news. Didn't look nearly as alarming as it was made out to be. It just looked like a couple of kids being idiots. I just realized that I wasn't sharing my Spotify screen, so anybody that was watching the video stream of this just heard silence on that part. That means I'm going to have to edit this thing together after the fact. Anyway, so apologies for that. I think I lost a couple of listeners. So anyway, there is a big to-do made about this arson that was being sold as being somehow related to the convoy. Turns out to not be the case. They've arrested one of the two guys, and at this time, March 21st, 2022, it does not appear that this kid had anything to do with the convoy. I think the entire evidence of it was just somebody who lived in the building caught them in the act, also didn't seem too alarmed. They're like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And one of the kids is like, "Oh yeah, we're here for the convoy." Police are saying now that the person does not appear to be related to the convoy at all. The second person they haven't found. I assume since they've got the first one that they'll figure it out. But anyway, the arson didn't seem to have anything to do with the convoy. And I found this supercut of people talking about it. So let's play that clip and then I'll be right back.
Violence is commonplace. We saw an example of this violence, an attempted arson downtown of an apartment building, where people started a fire. When they exited, they taped the door.
And an attempted arson, all of which, Madam Speaker, was caught on video.
It has been an illegal occupation that has been harassing people in residential areas of Ottawa. People don't feel safe in their own homes. There have been reports of attempted arson.
Canadians are also concerned hearing reports of an attempted arson in the lobby of a residential apartment building.
Because we see hate speech, we see illegal acts such as arson.
The incessant honking, the arson attempts.
The incessant honking, the arson attempts.
An attempted arson of a residential building in the occupation area.
We've seen the active sabotage of 911 emergency call lines and even an attempted arson.
Other alleged crimes have even been more egregious. Ottawa police are investigating the attempted arson of a downtown apartment building. The situation persists, fueled in part by foreign funding.
We saw reports of attempted arson in some of the buildings.
And it certainly does not include arson or pushing into a residential apartment building and barricading the exits with handcuffs.
The arrests for conspiracy to murder, attempted arson of a residential building.
Over the past 3 weeks, we have watched assaults, attempted arson.
They have been living in fear that their apartment buildings may be torched by arson.
Seen assaults, attempted arson, widespread harassment.
There's been attempted arson with the attempt of handcuffing doors shut so that if a fire started, people would be burned alive. And
death threats, an attempted arson.
A building had an attempted arson where the doors were taped shut. Another building had occupiers attempting to handcuff the doors.
There are reports of attempted arson, bomb threats,
hate crimes, misogyny, arson.
Horns honked all night long.
We saw thefts and attempted arson.
So anyway, very, very alarming. Turns out arsonists didn't have anything to do with the convoy. I would also like to point out the video of this incident is widely available. Watch the video yourself. I think I played it on the show before, but you can find it by Google. These people talking about taping up the doors to trap people inside so that they would burn alive is a bit of an exaggeration. There was tape put on the doors. You can see it happen in the video. But you can also see the person that sees this from across the street and kind of goes in to put out the fire just gives the door like one good yank and it just pops off. So if it, there was definitely something taped on the door, but it wasn't like, I doubt it was duct tape. That wouldn't have been easy to just pop open. Packing tape, maybe. But it wasn't taped very strongly. It certainly was not handcuffs, as several of the people in that clip just said. My guess would be that the tape wasn't necessarily to trap people inside so that they would burn alive. My guess is that this burst, these kids just taped up the doors so that nobody would come in and catch them. That's my assumption, but I don't know about that. But anyway, we've got about 9 minutes left in the show. I had one more quick topic. I don't know if I should play a song and come back or if I should just ride it out and then I can just play music to fill out the rest of the show. Maybe we should do that. So Ukraine and Russia is still going on. That's a big story, and it's certainly worth thinking about. But as I said last week, it's for me to cover it on this show just seems very overwhelming. I'm not as much. Like, I'm reading stuff about it all the time, but I don't feel as confident in being able to communicate what's going on. So, like, I've heard about the whole Nazi thing in Ukraine, which I'm not sure how big of a problem it is. It's anybody that's pretending that there is not a Nazi thing happening in Ukraine is lying or stupid. Anybody that's saying that it's like the whole thing, like Putin, I think has said that the reason he's going into Ukraine is to denazify it. I think that's also an exaggeration. I'm not sure how many or to what level the Nazi thing is happening. It seems like a thing, but the whole thing just seems weird to me. I'm not an epidemiologist either, and I've been talking about COVID for 2 years, but the COVID stuff is something that affects my life personally, just because we all have to live under these mandates, and I'm not like an expert or anything, but I do have a science background, so I mean, I'm a little bit more confident talking about things in that realm, and also I've been piling kind of the libertarian and anarchist kind of philosophies and arguments and stuff into my head for the last probably, I don't know, 10 years or so. So that's the COVID stuff feels like it's more in my wheelhouse. This whole foreign policy and wars stuff, I'm less confident in being a communicator for that. But I just know I've got a bad feeling about the whole thing. It's leaving. Not that you should feel good about what's going on in Ukraine. It's terrible. People are dying. But just the way that it's being sold is just super weird. And it reeks of propaganda. And, I mean, Russia's certainly naughty. Ukraine, I don't think, is the bastion of liberal democracy that it's being made out to be. Zelensky, something's off about that guy. At first, I'm like, oh, cool, a comedian is the president of a country. But the more I think about it, I'm like, he's a comedic actor, for one thing. It's not the same. And, I mean, are we into TV stars being the leaders of countries now? That seemed like it was a bit of a problem not that long ago. But like, I've seen there's a recent video of this guy that he put out where he's like on the street talking about something, but it's very obviously a green screen. I don't know why, but I saw this video. I'm going to pull it up. I saw this today and I don't know what to make of it. It's just really weird. It's for sure propaganda. That doesn't mean, like, I mean, look up the definition of the word propaganda. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a lie. I don't know what the intent is, but let's watch this video that was put out. This came out today. It's a weird thing to put out in the middle of a war.
Was a simple verb, merely a part of speech used in everyday life. But it's not that simple for us, because now the everyday Ukrainians simply cannot say "was" without bursting into tears. This was my home. This was my friend. This was my dog. This was my car. This was my job. And this was my father. And this was my daughter. The millions and millions of fresh wounds are bleeding with that wound. Russia has drowned Ukraine in tears and blood and children corpses. But there is one thing Russia doesn't get. Was is the word that describes its life. And we Ukrainians already know what will come next. We will win. And there will be new houses. There will be new cities. There will be new dreams. There will be a new story. There will be, there's no doubt. And those we've lost will be remembered. And we will sing again. And we will celebrate anew. Yes, Ukraine was beautiful. But now it will become great. Great Ukraine.
So, make Ukraine great again. I don't know what to think about that. It's just really weird that there's like a movie trailer. I think that's Zelensky doing the voiceover. It's just very weird. I've read a little bit. It seems to be, everybody seems to still be saying no-fly zone is a bad idea in the U.S. The Conservative Party of Canada seems to be all in on the no-fly zone, so I'm out. No more voting for Conservative. I was considering voting Conservative next time, but I don't like how they're handling this whole Ukraine thing. Seems to be my best guess as to what's going on. The U.S. and everybody else is just pouring weapons into Ukraine, specifically to drag this thing out as long as possible to bleed Russia dry. Hopefully it doesn't lead to a nuclear war, but who knows? I just wish there was more talk of... we need to de-escalate this thing. I don't know what that looks like. I'm not an expert, but I don't want to have a nuclear war with anybody. So anyway, that's the show. My name is John Forward. This is St. John Forward Radio. I'm gonna queue up the outro song, and then I'll play something else from Spotify to run out the clock. Thank you for joining me. Good night. ¶¶